Welcome to episode 125 of the Active Photographer Podcast, your behind-the-scenes glimpse into the day-to-day life of a working professional photographer, with me, Giles Babbage. With autumn tantalisingly around the corner, or so it seemed on recent mornings, I'm gearing up to lead my next series of workshops planned for the cooler seasons. Now, I recently headed out to visit a new woodland site, which I'd been told might hold great potential for the next photography and camping trips I have lined up. Naturally, whilst there, I made sure to make the most of my time, including the irresistible opportunity of creating a new glowing tent shot. On this occasion, though, a couple of light sources were introduced into the mix. So then, let's find out how I got on. Welcome, one and all, to The Active Photographer, episode 125. It's pretty much exactly 8 o'clock in the evening, and I'm stood in the middle of a woodland. And this woodland is in Hampshire. It's not far from Basingstoke. If a lot of you are aware of your geography of this country, you will know where Basingstoke is. And the reason I'm here is for a number of reasons, actually. First of all, I am checking out this area. It's actually a campsite, and this site was recommended to me, and I thought I'd just do an overnight trip to check it out and see whether it's suitable for the Active Photographer Jolly weekends, the photography workshops that I run. But while I'm here, of course, I'm always looking to maximise my time. So rather than just sitting in the tent with a cup of tea and falling asleep lots, which is very tempting, I thought I would do a bit of writing, because I have articles to write, and I thought I'd do some photography this evening. So what I'm doing now is the sun has gone down behind the horizons. It's quite dark in the woodland here, so I'm very aware that the light is going to go quickly. So what I'm doing now is just having a look around me to see where is best to set up the camera for some shots of the tent that I'm using. And the tent that I have here is a Force 10 Helium 100. Van Gogh Force 10 Helium 100, which I'm still testing and using it for, you know, this sort of thing, you know, when I'm sort of away on these little trips or overnighters or longer. So I'm just walking around. You can probably hear it's pretty dry underfoot. And there are two things that I want to do with these pictures this evening. Normally, what I would do with a tent shot would be to put a light inside, and that will give a lovely glow to the tent, and it would be like a kind of like a beacon, and it would be nice with a really nice backdrop. Now, of course, where I'm in the woodland, I've got all the trees around me, quite bushy foliage at the moment, so there's really no backdrop as such. So I could do those shots as normal, but I want to try and make it a little bit more interesting. And maybe just a bit more creative, something a little bit different. So, I might put the light inside as well. Do a few tests with that. But at the moment, it's still too early to be taking these shots. But what I'm doing, I'm just having a look. The camera is, as I stand here, it's about waist level. It's a tripod-mounted Nikon D800 with a 24-70mm lens. I've also got an electronic shutter release, so that when I come to take the shot, I don't physically have to press the shutter release button, risking jarring the camera, so it's nice and steady. So what I'm doing, I've got the camera fairly low down, just because I want to kind of draw the viewer in to the scene. If you're shooting a tent just from sort of eye height, looking down at it, it's okay, but it's not really that kind of engaging. It depends what you do with it. But I'm just framing up here. I'm going to do a test shot in a minute. I'm just going to lock up the tripod head here, and I've got the camera to the right of the frame. There's some trees here which are nicely framing the scene. I'm just going to see whether the autofocus is going to kick in.
It's getting darker now, so the D800 is not a super fast focusing camera, but it's locked on, so that's okay. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to switch the focus onto manual, so that's locked now. And I've got, just for the time being, I'm on ISO 100, and I'm just going to do a quick test shot, and it won't be the final settings that I use. I'm just going to do something like F4. Actually, no, I won't. I'll do let's go for F5.6. And we'll just do a quick shot here. That's the shutter fired. And just to have a look at this composition, see whether it works. So just, yeah, that's nice. That's not a bad shot in its own right. So just zooming in, the focus is absolutely, focus is absolutely sharp. That's really nice. Do you know what? Doesn't happen a lot. I think I've got my shot there. So what I'm going to do is do I leave the camera here? It's going to be getting a little bit damper, and where I am is probably sort of 30 meters or so from the tent. I could either leave the camera on the tripod, it would be fine, or I could take the tripod, leave the tripod where it is, and just take the camera. No, I'm not sure. I think I'm going to leave it for the moment, and just I'm just going to have a little bit of an experiment. I've got the tree in the foreground here, so I'm just going to turn the camera off, and I'm going to walk back to the tent, and the light is really starting to go now. When I started just about to record, I thought actually that it was still pretty light, but you know, the light really does go quite quickly. So I'm just going to switch this. I've got one of these LED lights. It's got, I don't know, 24 LED lights or something. That's hanging up in the middle of the tent, and it's pointing straight down to my sleeping bag that's on the ground there. I'm just going to shut that up, and I can already see that the light is shining through there. I've left the inner mesh door open so that quite a bit of light is able to pass through. That's, yeah, you see, I'm back at the camera position now, and I can see that that's already starting to glow, but it's, what I would have to do is balance that with the light that's still there. So I'm just going to do a quick test. Just going to look at the picture I took. Do you know what? I can already tell it's not going to be happening. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to leave it there, and I will take the camera. I think I'm going to take the camera down. Do you know what? I'm being very indecisive tonight. I'm going to leave the camera here because it's within view, so it's not going to go anywhere, and it's not really damp at the moment, so it's going to be absolutely fine. So I'm going to put the lens cap back on, which is somewhere in my pocket. Oh, you can probably hear the helicopters going overhead. I don't know. I think those are Chinook helicopters. I assume that there's some sort of a military base not far from here. Anyway, the camera is all switched off. The lens is covered up. The focus, everything is locked in position. And I'm just going to just wait it out for a bit. And what I'll do is I will catch up with you again once I have come back to the camera position ready to do the shots. And in the meantime, I'm going to get some thoughts together. So for now, at least, I will leave it there. Okay, so it is now, let's have a look. It's now 25 past 8, so a little while has gone by since I last recorded something. And the light has dropped quite considerably. The camera is now set up exactly where it was. I haven't moved it. I actually did a few tests rather than moving anything. And what I have at the moment is the camera is set up at f8, 30 seconds, still at ISO 100. I've made an adjustment to the tent itself. I've put the inner mesh of the inner tent. I've zipped that up. Just because when you have such a bright light, it can be a bit overpowering and create too much of a hot spot on the tent. I can now see the glow of the light there is really noticeable in the
in the grand scheme of things, that in the scene in front of me. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to do a test shot just for the base exposure for the tent, and I'll worry about the trees in the foreground in a minute. So that's the camera for a 30 second exposure. It's doing its thing. I'll just step to one side. So the issue I have here is where, obviously I've got this tree in the foreground, which is really nice, and sort of half an hour or whatever it was, 20 odd minutes ago, it was nice, it looked nice, it framed the picture, and there was still light coming through the trees a little bit, or the foliage in behind the tent. Now it's just a series of, as the camera sees it, thick, dark lines. So I just need to kind of be aware that I don't want that to, I don't want that to be an issue and drag too much attention away. So what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to light that separately. All I've got on me is a head torch, and so we're basically working with two lights. We've got the LED light in the tent, lighting the inside of the tent to create the glow, and then I've got my head torch, which is going to light the trees. So I'm just going to have a look at this base exposure. That's looking pretty nice. Again, it's creating a bit of a hot spot. I'm just going to zoom in on the frame. It's all a series of kind of testing and interpretation of what you see and what you're trying to do. So just have a look at that. That's still pretty, it's kind of bright. What I'm going to do is I'm going to just go over to the tent. And you may well find that I do this a few times because I need to just keep tweaking it just to make sure. Now, if I was working with an assistant, I could just say to them, could you go and turn the light a little bit this way or do this, that and the other. As I look at the light, I can see it's pointing right at this doorway. So I'm just going to angle it slightly just so it's... If you imagine the light was... going straight towards the camera, essentially, that's the angle. I've now turned it 45 degrees from the camera position to the right. I'm just going to go around and have a look just at the side of the tent. I'm just stepping back a little bit. Yeah, so that's nice. So it's creating that sort of glow still. Maybe just turn it back a fraction. There we go. Yeah, let's have a look. Just turn it back just away a fraction more. There we go. So it's still creating the glow, but I'm just trying to eliminate that hot spot because it can look really too much. So there we go, and we'll walk back over to the camera. Let's just have a look here. So yeah, that's, I think that's probably looking better. So here we go. And I'm just going to time this because I'm just looking at the readout. It's flashing 30 seconds at f8, but that would suggest to me that it's actually more than 30 seconds. It's just too far off the scale. So let's have a look. Here we go. So that's the shutter released. I'm just having a look at my watch just to see what the exposure time is, because with these longer exposures, what you would typically do when it goes past 30 seconds, you go to what's traditionally referred to as bulb or sometimes time setting, and that is a case where you would lock the shutter open, expose the picture for as long as you want, and you just manually time the exposure length. So I'm just having a look. That there is 30 seconds, and sure enough, okay, it's just after 30 seconds. There we are. That's looking quite nice. That's not too bad. Just going to zoom in. Yeah, you see, what I'm trying to do at the moment, because there's still the light in the background, it's just creating a balance between setting the tent out from the background, just to give a bit of definition. Not entirely happy with that. I'm just going to scroll back through previous shots just to get an idea of what I was thinking. Yeah, I might actually angle that light up directly in a minute. But first, what I'm going to do is I'm going to do add some extra light to the tree here. So I've got this, you can probably hear this. Okay, this is my head torch.
And the one I've got at the moment is an Energizer one. I traditionally use Petzl, as a lot of people do, but it's, you know, I'm just trying this out. It's pretty good. It was on offer in the shop when I happened to needed a replacement quite quickly. And it seems to do quite well. So it's got several settings. It's got, what's that, two, then two very bright ones, and then all of the lights, so it's sort of four of them. And then there's a red setting so that it doesn't affect your night vision. But anyway, enough of that. What I'm going to do, we're still working to just over 30 seconds, I would imagine, at the moment, so just going to make sure the release is not going to get caught up. This release has a tendency sometimes to, it has a locking mechanism. Sometimes I'll press the button and the locking mechanism will slide up and I won't have realised, and that, you know, it ends up therefore takes another shot at the end of the first one. So now that's fine. So that's open. And what I'm going to do is just on the smallest light setting, just going to throw some light onto this tree in the foreground. And basically this is what's known as painting with light. And all I'm doing is just introducing some light. I could do this with flash guns if I so wanted, but like I say, I haven't got any extra lighting with me. And it's really, you are literally just moving your hand around, pointing the torch on the tree and a bit on the ground, and I've got a fallen tree that's here as well. Actually, no, it's not. It's just a very elongated branch. There we go. I've just noticed that that's clearly slipped and is now taking another shot. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to let that do a second shot. Just carry on doing what I'm doing. There we go. So I'm going to leave it there for a moment. So it's going to be a little bit less. Okay, and I'm just going to rescue this. Yeah, this blooming thing. This shutter release is just a cheapy one. And usually I have a little bit of sort of electrical tape or something to hold it, you know, out of the way, what have you. And I didn't bring any this time. So let's have a look. Oh, that's pretty nice. You see, that's introduced a little bit of light onto the tree. It's okay. Some the scene isn't popping yet. I really want that tent to really lighten up, and it could be that, you know, it is just the fact that this is not a particularly super bright light. But I have a plan B. The head torch I have is infinitely brighter. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to do one shot where I'm going to turn the, let's see, take the LED off the top of the tent where it is. There we go. So now that is in the centre of the tent, and it's pointing three quarters towards the top, and it's pointing towards the camera a bit. Just going to have a look. No, that's not going to work. It's just creating a shadow. That's no good. So what I'm going to do, is angle it. Where are we? Let's try putting it straight up. See what it's going to do. Is that going to create? No. There's the mesh door panel has the inner. It has a mesh, but then it also has a sort of like a panel, obviously, that isn't mesh, and that creates a shadow. So what I'm going to do is going to get the head torch and put it on a full power and fire that up. Let's have a look. Let's see what this is doing. See, that's a lot brighter. That's a lot brighter. We'll just. So what I'm going to do is angle that slightly differently. I've got my down sleeping bag here, and the torch is sinking down into it, so I have to be careful that's not going to move. There we go. That's looking better. So what I'm going to do, like I said, I'm just switching those torches over, and I'm going to zip this back up. It's actually probably not such a bad idea to have this zipped up now, because all the little creatures I've already seen are some sort of hunting bird, I think like a kite or something, and I've seen a rabbit going by. That's not too bad. Let's give this a go. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to use this, the lamp that was in the tent, that's now going to light the tree. I'm going to do another 30 something odd exposure. There we go. So, a bit more control on this one. This torch, can turn it on and off rather than cycling through. It's not, yeah, I can see it's really not that bright by comparison, but just going to throw a lot of light as much as I can here. I could bring a more powerful torch, of course, that would do it. I will probably have longer exposures as it starts to get darker. Obviously, the camera needs more light to correctly expose the scene. But I'm just going to just move. There we go. That's something like 30-odd seconds. No, that's... You see, this is the danger. That's... That, do you know, it's not too bad. So what I'm going to do... There is a way to save this. The tent is looking lovely. I'm really happy with this. The light is just a bit on the trees. So what I'm going to do... That's telling me that it was a... I guess it was around about 30 seconds. I'm going to... If I can see what I'm doing. I'm going to go onto manual mode on the camera. Still at F8. Nothing's changed with the focus. And what I'm going to do is... There we go. Working in the dark. Clever. And I'm just going to put it onto that... bulb setting, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to actually use my keep my watch to hand to time this exposure. So I'm going to do a 1 minute exposure, and in that time I'm going to light up the tree and the tent will be much brighter as well. It might be too much. I might need to adjust the light in the tent a little bit, but we shall see. So here we go. Now let's get the release ready. And 3, 2, 1. Okay, now I've got the camera locked open, the shutter. I've actually set that so that it doesn't close. I'm just going to get closer to the tree here. Now I have to make sure that I'm keeping moving here, because so long as I'm moving and where it's dark, I actually won't record in the frame. So I'm where I am now, I'm right in front of the camera. Well, not obviously right in front, but I'm right there. So just quite close. I'm maybe a foot away from these branches that are coming up here. And I'm just using this torch, which appears brighter now in this light, just to lighten things up a little bit. Got the stuff on the ground as well. Whilst I'm doing that, keep an eye on the time. Got about 20-odd seconds. There we go. I love this sort of trial and error. It's, you know, it's a good way to spend an evening. If ever you fancy trying it, it's... Yeah, it's really good. So, there we go. Got about 5 seconds. I'll turn the light off. And that's just about 1 minute. And we'll turn that off. The tent looks nice. That's looking nice. There we go, you see. One thing I do have to watch. I can see there are a couple of little wisps where... Basically, you've probably seen pictures of car trails, like indicator lights and the lights from the cars. Basically, if you've got a light that's moving through a long exposure, that light records the movement. The car itself, for example, doesn't. And that's kind of a similar thing that's going on here. So I can see that where I've been a little bit slack, I can see that there are a few little wispy bits off to the side. It's not actually too bad. I'm just looking at the tree. All I'm trying to do with this tree is just light it up a little bit, separate it from the background. That's looking nice. The tent is just looking like a lovely warm glow, which is really nice. There we go. So, it's something I want to tell you about the D800 in a minute, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to set this up to do a 2 minute, so I'm going to double the exposure. Here we go. Okay, so that's on for 2 minutes. And what I'm going to do, I don't know if you just heard, I just walked straight into some sort of a twig or tree or something. It's getting a bit darker now. The D800, a lot of you might have either your own experience or you might have heard that the D800 has some sort of a focusing issue, a fault, some people call it, or something that just needs attention paid to it. There's a setting within the camera itself where you can actually adjust
sort of back and forth, fine-tune focusing to, for certain lenses, so I understand. I haven't tried it myself yet. And a lot of people had issues with the D800, and there was a lot of fuss caused about it, and a lot of people, you know, they're very good at sort of, you know, blowing a lot of hot air and making a fuss, but they don't actually give the camera a chance. The same with, you know, the same has happened with Canon, the same has happened, I'm sure, with other manufacturers. I have had my D800 for a while now, and a few months, and I suddenly it occurred to me, I thought, oh, I've got the same blooming problem, and you know, I don't want to have to send the camera back, and I'll be honest with you, I haven't had the chance to properly test these fine-tuning settings. But one thing I have discovered is my go-to camera, my workhorse camera, is a Nikon D3. I love it to bits, and a lot of you will know that I've used it a lot, and you've heard me using it a lot. With that, I could shoot at, say, f5.6 or f4 with a very narrow area of focus, and it's absolutely fine. But on the D800, I was finding that it just, something wasn't quite right. Just keeping an eye on the time, got about 5 seconds. Going to go back to the camera now, and we will turn that off. There we go, and we'll have a look in a moment. What I found is, yeah, whether it's because the D800 is such a powerful sensor, it's 20, now someone's going to correct me, 24 megapixel, 26 megapixel, something silly. I'm not swayed by all these big numbers, by the way. If you want to hear me talk about that, tell me and I'll do a podcast about it. But what I've discovered is actually where I would maybe normally be shooting at f5.6 or f4 maybe, I'm having to shoot those same scenes at f8 to correct for the focus drop-off or whatever it is. And I'd be interested to know whether any of you have had the same issue, whether you've tried that yourself, or if you've played around with those fine-tuning settings and it's worked. Because before I start messing around with the camera, I'm intrigued to see whether that is the issue and whether I have magically resolved it. So, but you know, something like this, tonight, starting earlier, getting the focus set, locking it up, I know that nothing's moved and it's lovely and sharp, and I checked it. Again, at f8, I could shoot at f11 or something, but I just wanted to throw like the tree in the foreground out of focus a little bit, and touch wood, and there's plenty of it around, there we go, it seems to be working. But yeah, let me know. So, let's get back to this shot. We're going to review the picture. That's nice. You see that's interesting. It looks as though I have lit the tree with a flash gun, which is not totally the look I was going for. However, that's fine. So I'm going to go back to the previous shot, which was what was that? That was a minute. The tent looks better in the 2 minute exposure, but the tree looks better in the 1 minute. So by default, you can probably guess what I'm going to do. I'm going to set the exposure for 2 minutes, and only 1 minute of that will be the tree being lit. So just have a look here, and ready to go now. There we go. So we're just get into position. Oh, that bloomin' twig. Please be careful if you're going to do this sort of thing. I don't want people to get injuries because they're walking around in the dark just because they fancy doing this. But there we go. So, yeah, I mean, the D800, it's a lovely camera. It's slow compared to the D3. There's various things that people don't like about it, lots of things that people do like. I'm quite happy with it at the moment, but for some time, until I'd had the chance to actually think around this focusing issue, whether it was an issue or whatever, I was almost scared of using it because I didn't want to let my clients down, because this camera, you know, you can't blame your kit, but it was one of those things that, you have to have confidence in your kit, and I didn't, so that's why I didn't use it a lot. But there we go. So I'm just going to have a check on the time. Okay, so we're coming up to around about a minute. That's probably okay. A little bit more in the foreground. There we go. There we are. I'll leave that there. I'm going to step back. And what have we got? Probably about 30 seconds or so. Just a word of advice and a plea. A lot of people go and shoot in woodlands and they think, oh, that twig's in the way or that branch is in the way, and they go and snap it off. Please don't do that. These trees have been here far longer than we have, and they will continue to be here if you just respect them and leave them be. Your pictures are not so important that you have to go and mess around with nature and snap bits off trees and goodness knows what. Anyway, there we go. But do be careful if you're walking around in the dark. There we are. So, we'll just turn that off. Has it worked? That's better. That's really nice. That is... Oh, do you know what? That could almost be a portfolio shot. That's lovely. The tent's looking nice. What I like about the tent is that I've obviously got the light just right, because it's not burnt out anywhere. It's falling out down onto the lower part of the tent. But when I zoom in, and I'm finding it increasingly difficult to see the buttons here without a torch on, yeah, I can see that there's just a bit of light in the sky behind, and there's just this light in the trees as well, which is really nice. That is just... Yeah, that is just picking out the rest of the tent, which isn't totally lit. That's nice. These pictures I'm going to... I've got various... collaborations and things that I'm on the case with Vango, who make the Force 10 tents, and I'm kind of, why I want this to be just right is because I want to run this past them. I want them to see this, and yeah, I'm really happy with that. That's really nice. So I've got a range of shots there. Good. Excellent. Now, what I'm going to do whilst I'm here is I am going to go and do a similar sort of shot, because I'm just going to look at that again. Nah, I'm really happy with that. That's really nice. I'm going to do a painting with light shot of my car, which is parked not far from this spot here. And I will record some audio whilst I do that as well. So do check that out if you found this interesting and you want to hear, you know, the same sort of techniques again, but with different subject matter. Keep an eye and an ear out for that, because I will be recording that just in a few minutes. I'm looking at my car right now. So I hope that's been useful for you. my indecision, I hope, has subsided a little bit. And I'm happy with that picture. That's really nice. So there we go. I'm going to leave it there for now and record a separate piece of audio for a separate show. So for now, at least, I will leave it there.
Whilst the light may have been perfect for the tent shot, unfortunately I didn't get to create the car shot as planned in the end. However, I'm sure I could set something up in the future, so do let me know if you'd like an episode of the show purely based around that. You can check out all the show notes to this and other week's shows at theactivephotographer.com. If you'd like to get in touch directly, don't forget I'm on Twitter at Giles Babbage. There's the Facebook page, facebook.com/theactivephotographer. Or, of course, send me a good old-fashioned email, giles@theactivephotographer.com. So thanks for listening, everyone. Take care, have a great week, and I will speak to you all very soon.
Member of the CurrentPhotographer.com podcast network. find more great photography shows at currentphotographer.com/podcast.